Welcome to the Golf Industry Uncut. On-demand audio for the world of golf like never before. Exclusively on THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Network. Now, here's your host, JB.
Welcome, everyone, to THP Radio. I'm your host, JB, and today we have a new episode of the Golf Industry Uncut. Each episode of Uncut will feature one of the great insiders from the golf industry, and they'll be placed in the hot seat to discuss equipment, technology, and the entire golf industry landscape. This week, we welcome Chris Koski to the show to talk all about Odyssey Golf and more. Chris, are you ready to step into the hot seat?
Ready to go, JB. Let's do this.
THP Radio is your new twist on on-demand audio in the world of golf, and the Golf Industry Uncut is your complete access to the equipment world that you're craving the info on. The way the show works is easy. Once the record button is pressed, there's no editing done until the show ends, so you hear it all. The only rule is a simple one. Each guest must be accessible after the show airs. So, Chris, can you tell the listeners how they can find you on Twitter?
Yep, you can hit me up on Twitter at @Odyssey_Koski, and fully available all the time for you.
Now, one of the questions we always like to ask people, you have a unique position at Odyssey. How did you get into the world of golf and kind of a timeline that led you to this point now?
Oh, boy. Well, I think it all started when I got cut from the baseball team my freshman year and in high school and started playing golf from there. I had a buddy that worked at a golf shop later on. I think it was my junior year of high school. And so I took a job at Nevada Bob's, and kind of the rest was history. I sold clubs all through college, built clubs, repaired clubs, and then lucky enough to get into Callaway and kind of went from there.
Now, can you tell everybody about your current position with the company?
Yeah, so my current position is the Global Director of Brand Management. I oversee the Odyssey business and our iron and hybrid business as well. So full range of responsibilities from P&L management, writing concepts for products, go-to-market planning in the marketing side. So a host of different kind of responsibilities for the job that really bridges anything and everything, putters, irons, and hybrids.
Now, Odyssey is known for a lot of innovations. You know, there's a lot of borrowing in the golf industry, and I'm doing finger quotes on the air, which is absurd. But when you see somebody or another brand come out with a, quote, number seven, is it joy because obviously the design works, or is it how dare they, bastards? You know, what's the thought process when there's borrowing going on?
I'd say it's a range of emotions, and first there's, you know, kind of like, you know, five steps. You are angry at first. You kind of accept it, take it as a form of flattery after that, and you kind of work through it. But, you know, it's common in this industry, and, you know, one of the great things about golf clubs as a whole is subtle differences can make all the difference in the world. So even on some of those putters that you would call knocked off or copies, if you will, some of the subtle differences make them completely different to the eye. And so I think that's one of the cool things that allows us to bring new and different things to market. And so I'd say flattery more than anything.
Now, I'm going off topic here, but to kind of expand on that, what is your favorite shape that Odyssey has come up with that's unique?
I play the number seven. I absolutely love it. I think it's a versatile putter for guys that have a straight back, straight through stroke, or you know, even some that have a slight arc in their stroke. It's such a great balanced putter. The sight lines are easy, and there's a reason that so many tour players have gone after it, and so many companies have tried to knock that one off.
Now, you use a number seven. Do you scoop a ball or do you stab a ball to pick it up? Because you can do it both.
I usually scoop or just bend over because I forget that I can do either of those things.
I'm a stabber, but that's neither here nor there.
Hopefully, okay. I'm picking it up out of the cup anyways.
That's true. Let's talk chippers. And, you know, you guys just recently launched a new chipper. Most golfers dismiss them as non-versatile or, you know, that it's cheating. Now, I watched you in your single-digit handicap beat it around Wekopa with a chipper in the THP gauntlet. I'll point out it's the only gauntlet that matters. So tell our listeners about the design and why it was needed now from Odyssey.
Well, it's interesting, and you know, as we've looked at the Odyssey business and heritage, and we're always willing to take some risks in bringing new innovations to market, and that's where it all starts. And when we look at the different shippers on the market, a lot of them are very small-faced products, which for the people who typically play with a chipper maybe need a little bit more room. But you know, as we were discussing, Austin Robinson and I were discussing some of the counterbalance options that are out there for putters. We said, well, what if we made a tank version of a chipper? That should quiet the hands. That should quiet the wrist. That should improve people's short game. I don't get to practice a lot. I have a two-year-old at home, and typically when I play, I'm headed straight out to the course. And so I'm a terrible chipper. And so I started using this thing, and Wikipaw was actually the first place that I used it, first week that we had the prototypes in. And Arizona is an absolutely perfect place for a chipper like that. You got hard ground, you can hit these little running shots up there, and it really just eliminates the terrible shot. And you know, one thing that Gary Player always said is, your worst putt's always going to be better than your worst chip. Well, when you have a chipper, your worst chip with that's always going to be better than the worst chip with an iron that could potentially stub into the ground. So that's where it started, and it's been a really fun product since then.
Now, my question to continue on that a little bit is, do you believe we will come to a point where the avid golfer accepts it as the 14th club or the 12th club, whatever number that is? Because if you go through your bag and you look at how often you use clubs, there's always that club that everybody has in their bag that they use like once a round.
Yeah. So, and that was the key for me. And, you know, when you look at some of the other sports and sabermetrics comes up, you know, I grew up an Oakland A's fan and Billy Bean and Money. Yeah, I know, right? It's been tough lately. You know, they modernized looking at statistics in sports, and I think if you really pay attention to the number shots you take, for me especially, when I look at the yardage gap between 3-wood, 5-wood, 4-iron, or 3-wood, 3-H, 3-iron, or 4-iron, excuse me, I wasn't using my 5-wood a whole lot, maybe once around, and if I really stepped on my 4-iron, I could cover that gap in the bag. Where I was having a lot of trouble with the chipping. So the chipper is now saving me 2 to 4 strokes a round, and I just miss a club that I might have been hitting once a round. So, you know, configuring your bag to the courses you play and to the game that you have, I think is important. But will it ever become mainstream for the avid golfer? Golf ego is a funny thing. I'm not sure if people can get by it. And, you know, I also see that, JB, in putters. There are so many people using blade putters with the toe pointed directly up that really would get a lot more benefits out of a mallet.
Before we continue, I want to remind everybody that they can discuss these topics and all the topics on the THP forum with thousands of golfers every single day. And of course, you can follow, discuss, debate, and interact on Twitter at THPGolf and at, excuse me, Odyssey_Koski. If you include the hashtag THP Radio, we can include future questions on the show with Chris if we can convince him to come back. So we've talked about Odyssey putting out a lot of different models and taking chances and things like that. This year, recently, you've put out two things that really kind of struck with our readers. The first was the limited edition line, you know, a bunch of different models kind of paying homage to your location and everything else. And then the next being RSX. Can you tell us a little bit about the tech side of it? Because there's more to it than just a new release. There's a face difference, there's sound slot. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, one of the beauties of having an inserted putter versus a fully milled one-piece putter is we can really fine-tune the sound and feel of the putter at impact. And so that's one of the benefits of having that sound chamber. We're also able to save a lot of weight and reposition that in more advantageous places in the putter. But this one was really... an exploration of sound and feel. And so we've got an anechoic chamber here, which might be one of the strangest places on earth. If you go in this thing for more than 5 minutes, you might go crazy. You can hear yourself think. It's absolutely nuts. But it's designed so that we can measure the slightest bits of sound And we did a lot of testing with this insert versus past inserts and competitive putters, and really wanted to get more feedback as we see balls getting softer in the market. So that's the purpose of the Sound Chamber and the Milk Collection RSX line. And the feedback's been phenomenal as I read through your site and some of the user feedback. It's been really cool to see the success of this one.
Can it go further? Can you guys do more engineering sound and manipulating sound than you're even doing now?
Absolutely. And the key to that is can't just be focused on sound. We're looking at all the attributes that an insert can deliver. Lighter weight is a good thing. We're always paying attention to roll properties. When we do a lot of the R&D planning and concept planning, we're 3 or 4 years out, and we've got some really exciting stuff there. But it's making sure that they all work together in concert, and all the instruments need to be playing the same song. And so, I think there's still a lot of room for us to fine-tune the sound, the feel, the roll, and make it all work together.
Now, you're talking about tech, and excuse our listeners, I'm getting over a cough, but you're talking about tech, and you are one of the people responsible and part of the team that brings these putters to market.
Mm-hmm.
Can you kind of explain what it takes with shapes and weights and everything else to bring a putter to market, and why Odyssey doesn't just put out 1,000 different shapes, 1,000 different models, center shaft, everything, and so on and so forth?
Deciding what goes into a line even before the innovation piece is incredibly difficult. So, when we go in the retail space, you want efficient models that sell through. And so you can't have an absolute ton of models. When we look from a tour perspective, we're not paying guys out there to use our putters, and we're the number one putter in use across the world's tours.
That's a fascinating thing that I think a lot of people don't realize, is Odyssey doesn't pay people to use the putters.
Yeah, the only guys that do get some money on the end of their contract are the guys that have Callaway hats, and not even all of those guys do. But the guys that you see from other companies, they're not getting paid. And so it's a cool thing for us, but in order for us to enable that, we've got to have options. So to marry up a commercial strategy and a tour strategy successfully is a delicate dance, because we want to be able to give consumers everything that the tour players get, but the retail space makes that incredibly difficult to do. So that's one big challenge. But the innovation side of it, the thing that I love about working on putters, and I'm not an engineer, I have a marketing background and a retail golf background, but I'm a product nerd first and foremost, is ideas can come from anywhere. We have serendipitous kind of concepts that come through that, paint a white line on something and, oh, that works. And then we've got science experiments where we're really looking to solve a scientific problem, and that's where it's great working with Austin Rawlinson, who has a physics background and a design background all the way back to the X14 irons with Callaway. Working together with the R&D team here and just kind of brainstorming, we've been able to come up with some really cool products.
What's the coolest product that you've launched, with your team, where you kind of geeked out over it? Because you're a lot like the guys on our site. You're really into the equipment.
My favorite is Versa, and just the way it came about. We had a designer working on a project, if you will, and it was a multi-material putter, and we're spending a lot of time on it, and Dr. Alan Hocknall asked a handful of us to come in a room and analyze it, and we thought the cost would be through the roof, and it would end up being a $600 putter for us to make any money on it. But we all saw kind of a cool alignment story with that middle layer, and so as impatient as I am, I came back to my office, and I painted a line on it with whiteout on a PT-10, if you remember the black PT-10 putter.
I do. I actually used that one.
So when I tell people that, they're like, are you crazy? That's a $350 putter and you put whiteout all over it. I wanted to test this because I thought it was so cool. So I brought it out to a lighted golf course that we have down in San Diego called Mission Bay, and this thing was just glowing, and you could see the path and you can see the putter and whether it was aligned or not, and it was just unbelievable. And that's what kicked off what we call Project Oreo at the time.
And I like that.
And Austin and I were talking, like, this could really change the way that people look at alignment on blade putters. We've never had really good alignment tools on a blade. And so we got behind it. We did a lot of testing here in the U.S., went to Japan a couple times testing with tour players, and the feedback was phenomenal. And now I think 40% of the guys using an Odyssey on the PGA Tour are using some form of Versa. And Phil won an Open Championship with it already. Danny Willett won a Masters, and Phil's got it in play this week. So that one is kind of one of our proudest moments, and it was the most fun because we changed the way people look at something, and that's what we set out to do every day.
It's time for Fire Away. 10 topics. First thing that comes to your mind, nothing to do with golf. Are you ready?
I think so.
What is the best sandwich and from where?
Best sandwich and from where? There's a place that called the Belly Deli that I used to get a sandwich called the Dagwood when I was working at Nevada Bob's in Belmont, California. That was where we go for lunch every day.
You're a big Warriors fan. For those listeners, I'm talking about the Golden State Warriors, the team that is pretty good right now, and it's been a long time coming. What did you think about the Kevin Durant signing?
Through the roof. Absolutely love it, and can't wait to see, you know, three of the best four shooters on earth play on the same court together. It's going to be so cool.
Are there enough balls to go around?
The way they share it, yeah, I think so. You know, it's a pass-first team. The offense moves the ball, and, you know, KD's not going to have to sit there and wait for Russell Westbrook to jack shots now. He's going to get the ball in his hands and hopefully make our offense more dynamic.
They will be fun to watch. Let's talk burgers. You're going to make and name your masterpiece. What toppings are on it?
Oh, I would do guacamole, smoked bacon, extra sharp cheddar cheese, and sauteed onions. And I think I'd just call it something like the Diego Burger or something like that.
Okay. If Steph Curry were to leave the Warriors, I know we don't want to really speak of it, but let's just say he did. Would you burn the jersey?
Oh, no way. No way. Steph is, you know, outside of basketball, he's such a good guy that I'm sure he would have a good reason. Hopefully he doesn't go back home to Charlotte at any point and then sticks around in the Bay Area. But you know, he's such a good guy on and off the court that you can't hate that.
What if he went to Cleveland?
That'd be a little tougher pill to swallow. It'd be tougher if he went to the Clippers or the Lakers, I'll tell you that much.
That's true. Plus, you'd have to hear Velardo talking about it.
And that would be the worst.
Best travel city for food outside of your home state?
Ooh. Best travel city for food. Yeah, I had a really good time in San Antonio. I went out to San Antonio with Roger last year the Valero when we launched the PM grind, and we had some unbelievable Mexican food, and so I say San Antonio off the top of my head.
Now, you're in Asia more than a lot of our listeners. Coolest thing you have seen that's different than here? And not the cell phone bill.
Wow, yeah, cell phone bill usually gets a little rich. I love the bullet train that they call the Shinkansen. It looks like the head of a snake as it's coming through the terminal, and you can hop on that thing, and it's just so unbelievably fast. It's just a great way to get around. So probably that off the top of my head. Some of the food that I've eaten there is absolutely crazy as well, but let's go with the Shinkansen.
Give us your funniest Osti memory.
The funniest Osti memory?
For those that don't know, he works with Osti, who designs a lot of these putters.
That's a tough one. I don't even know.
He has no funny memories. Is that what you're saying?
No. I don't think there's been some good funny memories. I laugh when I see the Gripmaster belt that he wears. I don't want to make fun of Osti too much, but it's like a 20-year-old belt probably, and it has a little ball marker on it, and that's kind of steady rotation for the wardrobe.
Nice.
I can't remember anything specific, but that belt always gives me a little chuckle.
Favorite current TV show when you're not watching live sports?
A show that I really liked this past year that was in its first season was Billions.
That's a really
on Showtime.
Good, really good one.
Or HBO. I think it was HBO. I don't know.
What are acceptable toppings for a hot dog?
Everything. You know, growing up in college, we used to go down to Tijuana to party a little bit, and they've got these hot dogs
on
the street there that have mayonnaise, mustard, ketchup, hot sauce, and bacon, and they are phenomenal at 2 in the morning. So nothing better than a TJ dog, but the more cheese, the better on anything that I eat.
Now, your office, for our listeners and readers that have been to it, is a little different than a lot of offices because you have paraphernalia of Odyssey everywhere. What is the single coolest thing to you in your office? And don't say pictures of your kids. We know that's a cop out of an answer.
Wow, I'm kind of looking around right now. I'd say I've got one of Mickelson's putters that he used for years and ended up in my hand somehow. It's got the lead tape on the top of the small blade, and that's kind of a prized possession. But outside of putters, I worked on the wedge category for a little while, and I've got the wedge that Phil played at the PGA Championship that was the prototype to the PM grind. So it was the one that had the welded piece on the top of it, the Franken wedge.
Yeah.
And that one's probably the coolest prototype I've got in here.
There you have it, gang. We want to thank Chris for coming on the show and talking to us. You can join us on the THP forum to discuss and debate everything we talked about here. Don't forget to head over to iTunes and subscribe to the Hacker's Paradise so you never miss a new episode of the Golf Industry Uncut, The Dean Has Spoken, or On the Tee Box. And don't forget to leave a review with what your thoughts on this show was. So for myself, and of course Chris, we hope you enjoyed this new episode of the Golf Industry Uncut. Bye, everybody.
THP Radio on the Hacker's Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.